Welcome back to Suburban Black Girl episode 53. Cheers.
So today we're going to be talking about what success looks like for Black women, but often doesn't. So basically, we're going to be talking about redefining what success looks like for us as Black women beyond titles, timelines, and social expectations. We're going to be exploring how external definitions of achievement can shape our worth, the burnout that comes from overpowering, and the beauty of creating a version of success that centers peace, purpose, and authenticity. Authenticity. Yeah. Thank you. I can't talk today, Blake. Thank you. I'm not even going to repeat it again. Yeah. So are we ready to get into the questions?
Yes. Let's go.
All right. When did you first realize that success for Black women often comes with invisible pressure?
I feel like growing up, obviously, my mom would always be like, you have to be twice as good, so on and so forth. But I don't really think it clicked or hit home until I started working in corporate America, where you start to see how you're treated differently, or you just start to be one of the only Black people in the room in that type of setting. And, you know, people are just waiting for you to mess up, or they assume you're going to mess up, or they assume you're not as intelligent, right? And so I think for me, that's what the invisible pressure started to feel like, was I don't have the option to just show up and not be prepared. Like, I have to be over prepared because people are just waiting for me to mess up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. I definitely think starting corporate America as well, just because that's when I really definitely felt different as far as being under a microscope and people kind of like really watching my every move and me kind of feeling as though I had to tiptoe and overly prove myself. And then also, you know, like we talk about a lot, code switching. Like that's where I started, you know, being introduced to what code switching really was, just to kind of coexist with my non-Black peers. So yeah, I would definitely say the same.
You know what else too? It's like you see people that are not Black skating by doing the bare minimum, and you just know that's never going to be you.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. We do not have that privilege. And so it's just, yeah, added pressure knowing that, like, if you want to be successful, you are going to have to go above and beyond. There's no choice.
No, exactly. And I also think, you know, our parents hold us to a certain standard too. Like, there's times where I've done things at work and my parents have checked me, and I do wonder, like, I don't think my non-Black counterparts are being checked like this by their parents.
Oh, at home?
Yeah. Like, based on, you know, like, things, the way you handle certain situations in corporate. So yeah, I'm like, I just think even our parents hold us to a different standard as far as like, you are not going to go in there and embarrass me type shit.
Well, honestly, I also think that's just where it starts in general, corporate, whatever it is, just the way people walk around with so much audacity. It's the lack of accountability that started way early on, like in your childhood, like how you, you know, were raised. Mm-hmm. And you can see it in the way that people can sometimes have such a lack of consideration for other people. It's literally just like, who raised you?
Yeah.
You know, and they are raised to not take into consideration other people. Like, and you see it just out in public, being at a store, waiting in line. I'm like, why are you right on top of me?
No, literally.
Back up.
Yes.
Like, and it really, I remember one time, me and my mom were at Sephora, and my mom was paying for something, and there was these two little girls waiting behind her in line to buy something. My mom is literally putting her credit card in, putting her PIN number in, and these two little girls, you know Sephora, there's the whole checkout area with, you know, all the little mini stuff, and that's where you wait.
Right. Their line is clear.
They literally were right behind my mom at the cash register. And I'm sitting there like, I was like, it's fine, like, da-da-da-da. But I'm just like, no, because to me, yes, they are little girls and you should give them grace. But to me, that's where it starts.
Yeah.
Because why is your mother not correcting? Why are you hovering over somebody when they're putting their PIN number in?
Yeah.
And that's why, for me, I got irritated, is just like, it starts at that age. And then they grow up and don't have consideration for other people. mm-hmm. you know, as adults.
No, and absolutely. No,
we're just not raised like that.
No, yeah. And let's not even get started with how they don't say excuse me. It's like, do you not fucking see me right here?
Right.
Like, there's so many times where I'm like,
if you catch me on the right day, I'll just be like, I'll just say it. Like, yeah. You're welcome.
No, literally, like, something.
Or excuse you.
Or the audacity of, like, you know, when they think you're just gonna, you're supposed to hold the door open for them and they're not supposed to, like, say thank you or try to act like they're gonna hold it.
Oh, yeah.
It's like they'll just, like, walk straight through the door and I'm like, I know you fucking lying.
Oh, no. If I'm holding the door for you and you just walk straight through.
Yes.
And say nothing.
Yes, that happens.
Because to me, if somebody holds the door for me, I'm then gonna grab the door mm-hmm. and let them go.
Right.
I am not your doorman.
Right. It always happens to me.
Don't piss me off.
It definitely happens to me. What definitions of success were handed to you, whether it's by your family, school, or society?
I never was the type of kid that didn't care about my grades. So, like, there was always pressure from a young age to get good grades in school. But I also was always the type of kid that wanted to do well and wanted to achieve. Mm. Like, I always cared about my grades regardless. You know, I know some people, like, their parents really have to push them for that.
Yeah.
I knew the expectation, but, like, I also didn't want bad grades myself. So I feel like it started with that. I think as I got older, my independence just became, I feel like, more and more important to me. So I just wanted to do well and exceed and go off and have a good career. So, you know, that I could do it myself, like know that I could do it myself.
Right.
You know, and so I've always been very self-motivated, even though that was the expectation always was to do well. Like I've never needed like some ginormous kick in the ass to, you know, want to succeed. But if I wasn't, there was still a kick in the ass.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. But I've never lacked motivation, if that makes sense.
I definitely don't think I ever did either. I think for me, it was just like my upbringing, being raised in the suburbs. You know, a lot of my peers all the way through grade school, you know, they had parents that did really well and were very successful. And so, you know, a lot of my peers were getting really good grades, you know, mostly getting A's. Like they would cry if they got a B+, you know. So for me, I think I, even though I hated to say it, it's like, how do you not compare yourself when all your friends are getting these crazy, amazing grades? Mm-hmm. But I honestly wasn't a bookworm. I really wasn't a big studier. Mm-hmm. But my parents also made sure I got a certain grade, or if I didn't, then there was no Christmas, there was no birthday. You know what I mean? Like I had consequences. But I think the type of schools that I was going to growing up, it really shaped my success at, I think, maybe a higher level than if I was raised maybe in another area. So for me, I've always wanted to shoot for the stars because I'm like, my God, y'all are killing it over here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think, yeah, for me, it started young and it definitely started with like my friend group. Like something that is just instilled in me now to just always do my best and be my best. But also I think a part of it is just my parents have achieved a certain level of success. So of course, for me, it's like, I want to be able to do that. Right. Mm-hmm. So yeah, but I don't think it's something that like I'm forced to do. I think it's just always something that I've wanted to do.
Yeah.
Like, I believe in working hard so I can have nice things. Like, I've always liked nice things. So I'm like, okay, if that's what it takes to be rewarded to have it, then, like, I will sacrifice and do what I need to do.
Yeah, wanting to have a nice life. Like, it's not, yeah. I don't know. It's just, like, if you want it, you have to go for it. And you have to work hard. And that's always been enough motivation for me, I guess.
Right. Even though some days it's stressful. And it's like, I was just telling my mom this week, I was like, why want to go to like the ice cream shops or the coffee shops? Those are the most happiest people.
Yeah.
And it's like, they're not, you know, they're not doing much, but like, no offense, making a coffee or scooping some ice cream in a cup. But you know,
that's extremely valid. And I feel like that's what we've talked about it a few episodes ago, but I feel like that's what I've been reflecting on lately is because it's like, yeah, I was always the kid that didn't really need that much motivation, but like, does that mean there was something wrong with the kid that was just happy getting C's? No, because that kid today is probably has way less stress potentially, you know, than we do. And that's what I always say is about like the rich people problems thing. Not that we're rich, but it's just the stress that we have comes from our own goals and our drive to want to succeed, not because they're not real problems, you know, they're not hard problems. Even though it feels hard some days, it's like, this is not a stress about how I'm going to get my next meal. This is a stress about wanting to juggle so many things because I want to be successful. And yeah, those, when you see that person in the coffee shop, that's the, or the ice cream shop, that's the reminder to live in the moment, knowing that you worked hard to get here. Yeah. And 3 years ago, you were praying to get here.
Right.
And the second you get here, you're like, ah, okay, on to the next thing. And it's like, no, you can be in that coffee shop and be happy that you are doing work on the laptop for the company that 2 years ago you were miserable at another company, you know, and being happy that this is where you're at now.
No, exactly. That's so true. It's definitely, we have to sometimes sit back and like reflect on things. I'm big on honestly documenting my life and how, like, even though it feels weird propping up a camera, but you know this, I'll talk to myself sometimes and like make, especially at the end of the year where I want, or beginning of the year, I'll, well, the last day of the year, I'll set goals for the upcoming year. And so it's like every year when I look back on these videos, I've been doing it for like the last 2 years, I'm amazed. I'm like, oh my God, like you did that. Or that, I'm like, oh, it's still pending, but hey, we're working, we're making progress. You know what I mean? Yeah. But it is crazy when you start to sit back and just look at the things that you once dreamed of, you have them. And it's like, damn, I kind of forgot I even set that goal for myself.
Mm-hmm. And I did that. I can't wait to watch it back. But after you told me about that last year, I did do it. So it's in my camera roll. So I'll watch it back in 2 months on December 31st. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And literally in 2 months. And see, because I haven't looked at it since.
Really?
No.
I just looked at it recently and I was like,
yeah, and a lot has changed, I'm sure.
Yeah?
Yeah. I have one of those I am journals.
Oh, I like that, yeah.
So I remember writing down, like, I am a podcaster, you know? And it's true.
Right.
We're not at the top of the Spotify charts yet.
Listen.
Or the Apple charts.
We're there. We still got a podcast.
We are podcasters.
Yes,
ma'am. So this year I might write down something a little more specific.
Right. We are top five on Spotify.
Very specific.
Right. That's what God said. We got to get specific with that prayer. Because sometimes I've asked for things. I'm like, not damn like it, I wasn't specific enough.
Yeah.
Jeez, that's not what I really meant.
Right.
So yeah, we got to get a little more specific with it. Do you think Black women have to overachieve just to be seen as equal?
Oh, absolutely. We're not going to get the benefit of the doubt. We can't just show up and cruise. We have to not only just succeed, overachieve, you know, in order to get even close to equal treatment as other people. So, yes.
Yeah, I agree with that. And it's like, even thinking about that question, it's, but to some people, we're not even still seen as equal, even though we're already overachieving, which is crazy.
The energy that you have to put into your actual job in overachieving, but then it's the energy that you have to put into code switching. It's also the energy that you have to put into people doubting you and questioning you. You know, you could absolutely be stating that the sky is blue, but Timmy can say that the sky is blue and it'll be like, yes. But when you say it, it's like, I don't know about that. Can we circle back? Let's just double check with Sandra in HR about that one. And it's like, okay, but you know what you're talking about.
Right.
So there's, when you say uphill battle, yeah, it's, we're working through an obstacle course, whereas some other people are just working through a clear path, you know,
with no barriers.
Yeah. So we're ducking and dodging everything while some people are just able to cruise.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it. It's definitely a lot harder. Do you think sometimes in the Black community, we glamorize struggle as a part of the success story?
Yes, I do think it's a thing in the Black community, but I also think it's a thing in society. People love a got it out the mud success story.
Oh, yeah.
Which, yeah, it, because it is inspiring.
Absolutely.
Right? That's why you see it in movies. You know, when people start from the bottom and they crawl their way out and they start from nothing and, you know, all of a sudden they're a rock star, a superstar, or whatever it is. I think people love that
Yeah.
type of story. I think it's glamorized in the sense where people will take a true story like that and it becomes a Hollywood movie and da da da, and it's so inspirational and it is a beautiful thing. But I think it's glamorized from the sense that Black people shouldn't have to be in that position. We're in that position, a lot of us, because of 400 plus years of slavery and, mm-hmm. you know, segregation and just white people having a head start because of that. And from that perspective, it's glamorized because it shouldn't be like that.
Right. And I think, you know, it's all in our media, like you kind of touched on before, right? It's in all, so many of our songs. It's depicted in so many of our movies. And it's something that we've seen since the birth of time, to the point, you know, like we've said before, if you are an African-American and you don't have a quote-unquote struggle story, and you're talking to someone that may not be Black, they're kind of confused when you don't have that struggle story, or there's certain things that they assume that you've been through, and it's like, actually, I don't know anything about that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I do think society glamorizes it, but I also think that society profits off of that. They profit off mm-hmm. of the struggle story from the Black community, period. Because let's be honest, I hate to say it, think about how many of these struggle stories have won Oscars and all that type of stuff. You know what I mean? It strikes big in Hollywood. So it is unfortunate, but yeah, I do think it's glamorized. Absolutely. Agreed.
Speaking mm-hmm. of the Hollywood thing too, it kind of reminds me, and I never even used to look at it this way until recent years when it started to get backlash, was a movie like The Help.
Oh, yeah.
I always thought that movie was like so cute and, you know, loved it. But then when people started talking about it as like a white savior complex, I was like, that's valid.
Mm-hmm.
And also The Blind Side.
Mm-hmm.
This white family comes and saves him, you know? And I always like those movies were so nice. And,
right.
But yeah, unfortunately, as you get older, you become less naive and realize like, oh yeah, it is this whole white savior, you know, sob story.
Mm-hmm.
And then even hearing Michael Orr talk about how they portrayed him on The Blind Side versus his real life.
Come on.
He was talking about how he was always good at football and they portrayed it like he was terrible at first. And then this family came in and, you know, brought him to this fancy school and he all of a sudden worked at it and got better. And so, yeah, I feel like Hollywood kind of glamorizes it in that way.
Right.
Is like, oh, we've come to save you.
Right.
Yeah.
No, definitely. It's sad, but it's so very true. So let's shift into career, hustle, and burnout. Have you ever reached a milestone and still felt empty? Yeah, I mean, I do think there's been times where I've reached a milestone and felt empty, maybe because of how much time or energy it took to finally get to that point. And it's like, wow, I did that, but I'm also tired. It just takes a lot of time sometimes to, you know, get to certain milestones. Mm-hmm. And it's like, once you finally even get there, it's sadly, you're like, I'm literally just burnt out. Like, let's be honest. It's like, all right, check that one off. On to the next.
I've definitely been guilty of the having the on to the next mindset and not basking in the success. And even like coming up, we're only a couple weeks away from being 1 year on this podcast. And that's exactly like that's an achievement.
Yes.
And of course, like, we both want to be further along and have more subscribers and more visibility and bigger guests and whatever. But like going almost 52 weeks straight or 52 weeks straight, it will be without missing an episode. We haven't missed a single week. Who does anything for 15 weeks straight?
Yeah.
Other than potentially their job because they have to pay their bills. But who voluntarily does something 52 weeks straight? Like, that in itself is an achievement.
That's true.
You know? And yeah, sometimes you have to just take time to pat yourself on the back that you even did that. But also, today we could look back at our very first episode and our old clips and the old quality of our videos. And that alone is an accomplishment you know, how much better in the flow, right? Yeah. I'm sure our first episode, we probably appeared a lot more nervous and whatever. So And maybe that's something we should do over the next week or two. Yeah. Is just like look back at 11/11/24.
I think we should. But now that you said that, I'm like, you know what? I want to go back and see because that is so true. I think we have both grown so much with doing this because, I mean, it's not easy.
Yep. Even today I was editing and I was just like, I literally do this so much faster and so much better than when we, you know, first started. It would take me forever or, like, you know, even if social media is in a slump right now and our engagement maybe is in a slump right now, it's just like there's still progress in the quality of the output.
Of course. You know? And that's all that matters, right? Like, I'm so big on just, like, consistency. Just showing up every day, even if it's not your all, just showing up with however much percent you can give. So we're doing it, girl. We're doing it. We're gonna look back. What was that post I sent you 7 years from now?
God willing, it will be sooner.
No,
and his was 10. His was 10 years ago.
It was 7.
Yeah. No, it was 10. Because I said, oh, great, 1 down, 9 more to go.
Shit, I thought you said 7 more to go. No. You see, I'm getting my 7s and 9s confused. Yeah, but that point will be chill.
It's okay. It'll be sooner for us.
Yes. Amen to that, okay? Do you feel guilty resting when you're not producing?
Yes. I have a very hard time relaxing sometimes. Because I feel like, oh, I have a free moment. I should be doing X, Y, and Z with it. Mm. I've talked about this before, but I've definitely even noticed it in my sleep. Like, I find myself literally dreaming about work, dreaming about Excel sheets, like, about presentations. Yeah, it's been getting bad the past couple months. Oh. But that's why I'm looking forward to the holidays. Just, yeah, things slowing down. But definitely feel like I have a hard time relaxing because I feel like every minute I can be checking something off, you know, my to-do list.
I used to really beat myself up about it, but now I'm like, man, if I don't kind of like take a chill pill right now, I'm literally going to have like a mental breakdown or something. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's what I'm scared of doing. Mm-hmm. But I feel like even when I think I'm quote unquote resting, it probably still is not rest because honestly, I'm still doing something every day. But maybe I don't do as much. Or it's like, even though I know I have to complete these 5 tasks, I may be like, nah, I'm just going to push that off till tomorrow. Because sometimes I think I put a big expectation on myself. Like I was just telling myself this week and I keep doing it where it's like, stop promising people a 24-hour turnaround or a 48-hour turnaround. Like give myself days to accomplish something because it's like you telling yourself like, okay, yeah, I'm going to do that thing tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And it's like tomorrow comes and something else comes up or maybe you're just tired. Mm-hmm. And it's like, bro, like I have to really ask myself, should I do it or should I not? I definitely don't beat myself up as much, but I find ways to break things up and maybe just spend a little time doing stuff here and there. The days that maybe I just can't give it my all. But sadly, it's kind of hard to just not do anything at all for me in a day.
Yeah.
Unless I'm on vacation. Vacation, I definitely unplug a little more, which it makes me sad because I'm like, that's the only time where I feel like I actually can relax.
Same. Only time I feel not guilty, not doing anything. At the end of the day, you can do work from home.
Yes.
So, and that is the only thing about working from home is like, you can pick up that laptop or whatever it is and do something any minute. And it's always there in the back of your mind that you can be doing it and you're actively choosing not to. Mm-hmm. Whereas like on vacation, you don't really have time or maybe you left your laptop at home, whatever the case is. But yeah, I think that's the hard part about relaxing at home is like, it's only an inch away. It's like over there whispering in your ear, like,
open me.
Yeah, exactly. So,
so what does success look like for you internally without money, titles, or validation?
Freedom. Yeah, lately, that's what it's looked like is freedom and autonomy over my own life.
You couldn't have said it better.
You know, if you can get yourself in a place financially where you saved and, you know, I think the goal is like eventually you have a house and it's paid off. And it's like, what expenses do you have when you're not paying for a home or you're not paying a rent? How much more free would you feel living in something that, like, I mean, obviously outside of property taxes, whatever, but, like, is yeah. yours. You know what I'm
right,
saying?
Right.
Like, when you don't have that expense, it frees up so much more of your money, which makes you then, you know, you could be more likely to say, fuck that job. And that doesn't mean you're not going to work, but it means, like, if you are that unhappy, you can find another one.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? To not feel so stuck.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's what success looks like, is freedom.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I don't think you could have said that answer any better. I do agree with that. I believe freedom for me is just spending my time doing what I want to do when I want to do it on my time. You know, working in corporate America, I'm on someone else's time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do pray and dream of the day where I'm on my time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something I'm working towards every day, because although I know it's a different level of stress, at least it's like I'm betting on myself 110%.
Mm-hmm. A lot of entrepreneurs, like, there, you know, there is a lot of stability, right, in a 9-to-5.
Yes.
And a lot of people dream about entrepreneurship and all of that. And it does come with a different level of stress when it's like, it's on you.
Yeah.
Right? But that's why ultimately, whether it is a 9-to-5 or entrepreneurship, whatever it is, you can to a certain extent, like, have freedom both ways, right? Because if you have a 9-to-5, but you've got more than enough money saved, you have the freedom to know, I can leave tomorrow. Fuck y'all. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So either way, just having that level of financial stability to have that level of control over your own life, regardless of whatever type of employment you have.
No, like, definitely. And, you know, I do think more than ever, entrepreneurship is glamorized, and I'm all for it. But at the same time, I do believe, you know, it's important for our generation and the generations under us to still realize it's important to have your 401ks and, you know, if you have a stock account, things of that nature. Don't just depend on, hey, you're an entrepreneur and you're just putting stuff in a bank account, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, just putting stuff in an account is not enough. It's got to go somewhere else. So that's one thing I'm learning within myself too, is taking the time to transition, but making sure, like, you still have money growing on your behalf. You're not just, it's just not in an account.
Mm-hmm.
Are there times where you've ever felt unworthy when you weren't accomplishing something big?
I don't know if unworthy is the right word, but yeah, literally just not successful, or like I wasn't doing enough. Definitely like I wasn't doing enough. Yeah, I feel like I find myself feeling like that often. Even when I'm doing the absolute most, I still feel like I didn't do enough today. I didn't do enough this week. And even, like, again, this is me working on my mindset, but even with the year almost coming to an end, 2 months left in the year, yeah, even I could find myself having thoughts of, like, I didn't do enough this year.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I don't think it's a I'm like not worthy or anything. It's just, I think sometimes when, I don't know, it to me kind of feels as though when you genuinely do well and you're kind of killing it for your age or your race, etc., you're the hardest on yourself, but everyone else around you is like, you're doing amazing, sweetie.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I don't think I'm doing enough.
Yeah.
And it's like, we are our toughest critic. But I do think it's also good to be like that on yourself. That way you're continuing to push yourself and not get complacent, like we always talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's hard because we have a huge expectation on ourselves when you've got big dreams, right? When you have big dreams, your expectations of yourself are like, you ain't doing enough. You know, like, keep pushing. But I don't know. I don't think I'll ever be like, ah, girl, you did it. I'm like, I feel like I'm always just going to want more.
No, yeah, definitely. You definitely get the, I'm so proud of you. You're doing great. Da, da, da. And like your internal voice is like, don't listen.
Right.
You didn't do enough. It's not true.
Right.
The bar is in hell for them. Like, that's what I hear in my brain.
No, literally.
How has therapy or self-work changed how you measure your wins? Definitely doing more reflecting on who and where I was a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago. As we just said, we're our own worst critic. We're toughest on ourselves. We feel it constantly, feel like we're not doing enough. But when I look back to where I was a year ago, I'm doing way better than I was now. When I look back 3, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, just moving to Houston, I'm like light years ahead of where that person was. And that's across the board. I've worked on myself mentally. I'm light years ahead. Emotionally, I'm light years ahead. Financially, I'm light years ahead than I was 5 years ago. And that's where you kind of go touch grass and realize, no, you are doing great, because, you know, things take time. And when you look back 3 to 5 years ago and you don't even recognize that person, that is an accomplishment
of like self-reflecting. You do start to realize how far you've come along. But yeah, I think we're both very big on our inner work and working on ourselves. And so I think that that's the biggest difference, is what goals are you setting for yourself? Mm-hmm. Not everyone is doing that. And it kind of shows with just like their choices and maybe the different paths that they may be on. I'm big on like finding ways to reflect. Like I was saying before, having videos that I can look back on myself on 1 year, 2, 3 years from now, or I'm very big on my vision board. So those are ways that I continue to hold myself accountable and look back at, just to help me visually self-reflect. I'm a big visual person. That's really how I remind myself of like where I was before. Because mm-hmm. if you're not writing it down, or you're not seeing it, or however you may, you know, kind of keep it in a safe space, it's like, how would you really know that you're progressing?
Yeah. And even like old journals, I think it's good to go back and mm-hmm. look down, because I've written down goals. And honestly, I'm going to go home and do that and look at like what I wrote down a year or 2 years ago. But, you know, there's 2 to 5 years ago, but then there's also, and I've said this before in previous episodes, there's your 8-year-old self. And for me, like when I actually think about that, like that is enough, because she would be extremely proud of me. And there's something to be said about that, you know, also. And I think that kind of coincides with like my family feeling proud of me, I think is one of the biggest things too. It's because like they saw you.
Right.
When you were born, they saw you as that 8-year-old, and they see you now, you know. And so for them, because you've met so many different people throughout your life, and it's one thing for, you know, your coworker to be proud of you, or it's another thing for somebody you met a couple years ago to be proud of you. But like for your family, who has known you since birth, to be proud of you, like that means something.
Everything, for sure. You know,
sure. I hold on to that too. That means a lot to me.
For sure. I just had a moment with my mom this week. We were talking and she was like, I don't know how it came up, but she was telling me how, she was like, let's think back, Ashlyn, to like when you graduated from high school. Like I was saying earlier, a lot of my friends were extremely smart in school. So a lot of my friends and colleagues went to very big colleges. And my mom was like, but look at you now. And she's right, because there's so many times where I beat myself up for not having a freaking 4.2 GPA and getting into the top schools in the nation like some of my friends did. And even though at that moment when I was literally 18 to now being almost over 10 years later, and I see where I am compared to them, I'm like, I'm right there with them. And some of them I'm surpassing. But at the time in high school, I did not see that for myself. And so it just reminds me of just, you know, I'm big on, it's not how you start, it's how you finish.
And where you go to school don't even matter half the time.
Right. But at that moment, it felt like
because in high school, that's the end all be all, is applying to colleges and getting in and where are you going and committing and da 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 da. But then it's like, there's obviously certain fields and certain circles and whatever that have their benefits of where you went to college. But for most of us, it does not matter.
Right. But it's like, why do they, it's like, I feel like it was so forced. It was like such this thing. It's like, oh, you're going to.
Wow. Yeah. Because in high school, what else are you working towards? Besides that, you're working to go to college. So at that point, it's a huge deal. Then you graduate college, and even now, because the economy is terrible, you see people with major degrees talking about they're getting bartending jobs right now. At the end of the day, it really is luck, a sprinkle of who you know. The risks you decide to take is how you end up where you end up.
No, for sure. Definitely. You cannot compare yourself to what other people are doing or where they went to school or maybe the job they have. It's like, keep going, because eventually you will find your lane. Because I remember for a while, like, I literally was like, am I doing what I should be doing? Like, I didn't feel like I was good at it. Mm-hmm. But eventually, you know, obviously you start to pivot and then you find your niche. Like, you find what you're generally just naturally good at eventually.
Yeah. I just had a friend call me on Friday and she graduated law school like 2 years ago. She's been working in law, but she's like hating it and she wants to pivot. And she's just like, obviously she wants to still be doing, use her degree, but it's not looking like how she thought it was going to look. You know, and she's just really trying to pivot and trying to figure it out. And she's like, I really need to find my purpose. Wow. And it's never too late to pivot.
Right. We're still so young.
Yeah.
We're so young.
Yeah.
What does enough look like to you in this season of your life?
I think it looks like respecting my body. As bizarre as that sounds, but respecting my energy levels, respecting my emotional levels on any given day and things that are going on outside of work, not overdoing it. Like, if I know I'm exhausted and it can wait till tomorrow, then it can wait till tomorrow. Because there were nights, plenty of nights this summer, I was on my computer till 2, 3, 4 a.m. And yeah, that's not happening anymore, you know? Or I think it also just looks at being realistic with myself on what I can accomplish that day, what I can accomplish that week, and what is seriously not that important. So it looks like trying to find better balance, even though there's no such thing as balance, but it looks like not pushing myself, because to your point earlier about having a mental break, like I that happened for me. Like, I feel like I've had breakdowns over the past couple months from just pushing myself too hard. Yeah, just listening to myself and what my bandwidth is.
I totally understand. I agree with that, because there's times where we are very stressed and overwhelmed and we don't even realize it, because stress and mental breakdowns, et cetera, show up differently on everybody. Especially when it hasn't happened to you, you don't really know like what the symptoms are. It's just like there's certain things that your body's telling you. You know, like I can definitely tell when there's something wrong with me. But for me, I would say it's just finding a way to show up as much as I can, even if it's not my full 100%. Because there's days where it's just like I honestly can't give it my all.
Showing up is enough.
Yeah, like showing up is enough. And I think that's something we have to remind ourselves of, is there's times where we're very hard on ourselves and wanting to do the most. And it's like sometimes you just can't. You can't be everywhere. You can't do everything. And you can't be everybody's everything. And also reminding myself, I'm very big now on pouring more into myself. And unfortunately, if it hurts someone else's feelings or they feel as though like, wow, how can you do that? It's like, hey, I gotta make sure I'm good first. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And making sure those around me understand that as well. I do believe a lot of the relationships I have in my life, it's very understood, because hey, we're all just trying to figure this stuff out called life. But yeah, I think that's really what it is for me. Just showing up how I can that day.
Even over the summer, like I feel like I was having random breakouts. I was having issues with my eczema, which I never had. I literally got tonsillitis, which I've never had in my life. I never get, like, to know me is to know I never get sick. So, and I think maybe I wasn't realizing or was in denial about my stress levels at the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's going to start to show up whether you like it or not, you yeah. know? So it's just, to me, success looks like taking care of myself.
Yeah.
Yep.
True that. Today's mantra moment is, my success doesn't have to be loud to be real. My peace, my purpose, and my joy are proof enough.
Mm. Yes. What was the last part? My peace, my purpose, and my joy?
Yes. Are proof enough.
Period. Agree.
Yeah.
And decenter other people's opinions too. Because.
Yeah.
If you feel like you're doing enough and you're successful, like. I don't know. Because sometimes. Sometimes people's opinion adds unnecessary added pressure. Or even yeah. the thought of being judged.
Yeah.
Adds extra pressure, you know?
No, definitely. Like, I was just telling someone this week how I had a friend that was frustrated with me, in a sense, I felt like, because I was working while we were hanging out, but we were literally at a hookah lounge. So it's like, why can't I put my laptop out? And mm-hmm. I was telling my friend, I'm like, no offense, if I was with most of my other friends, no one would have made a huge fit like they did. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, you understand that. You know what I mean? But it's
like, I would have had my laptop out with.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, girl, if I love it. If we're pulling out the laptops, girl, let me get mine. You yeah. know what I mean? But that's like, in the way they were talking to me, I just laughed it off. I was just like, girl, I got to get this work done. You know what? I didn't let that opinion get to me, because I'm like, what you're not going to do is make me close this laptop, because baby, there's money tied to this. So I'm going to keep working.
I would have been like, so, are you going to pay my electric bill this month?
No, literally. Like, girl, what?
Are you going to send me my nail money? Because I'll happily close it.
No, literally. But yes, you have to, like, block out the outside noise, because what's understood doesn't have to be explained. So.
Period. Alrighty, well, thank you for tuning in to episode 53. Please don't forget to comment, like, subscribe. Follow us on all platforms at Suburban Black Girl Pod. Email us at suburbanblackgirlpod@gmail.com, and we will see you next week.
Bye, guys.